Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we try and bring you new guests to talk about exciting new things in the field of the paranormal and UFOs. People who are researchers, people who are experiencers, and both. And tonight, I'm really excited because we have a return guest, actually. She was on the show earlier, actually on, I believe it was January 3rd of this year, to talk about some of her UFO experiences. She's using the pseudonym Wendy X. That's not her real name, but that's what we're going to call her tonight. And I'm really excited to have her on the show because tonight, we got her last minute, actually, so I'm really lucky. She's going to talk about some of her other really unusual experiences, particularly with ghosts. So this should prove to be very, very interesting, and I'm so glad that you can all join us. And before I actually start talking about this stuff, I just want to give you an update on our last week's show, which was about UFOs over Catalina. I got a number of emails, actually, and one I wanted to share with you was from a lady who said that in 1999, she was actually harbored in a bay at Catalina Island with her two friends, and also her husband. And they were sleeping in the boat at night when the wife woke up because she thought she saw a light outside. And looking out, she did, in fact, see what appeared to be a very bright object moving away from Catalina Island and toward the mainland. And she woke up her husband in time enough to, so that he also got to see a glimpse of it. And the next morning, as they were talking to their friends who had slept in another room, the wife started to talk about her UFO experience. And at first, the other couple thought that they were joking because it turned out the other couple had also had a strange experience in the night. The girlfriend had had a dream that she had had sex with an alien. Coincidence or not, I don't know, but it was kind of an unusual experience, and I got an email about it from the listener, and I want to thank that listener. It's very interesting. I don't know what's going on with this area in Catalina, but, man, I'm going to have to write another book about it. There are so many reports. And it was a very popular show last week, so thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed as much as this week, because our guest is actually really amazing. She's had a number of UFO experiences, which we really won't be going into much tonight. Tonight, instead, I wanted to talk about her ghost experiences. Turns out a lot of the people I interviewed who are having UFO experiences are having ghost experiences as well. I don't quite understand what the connection is, but there is some type of connection, and I'm determined to find out. So anyway, I want to introduce you all to our guest Wendy, and she...
Hello, Preston.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
You're welcome. You're
I know it
welcome.
Was really, really last minute.
Just a little.
So, I've interviewed you before about some of your ghost experiences, and they're fascinating.
And well, they're not so fun. they scare me.
Why?
Say?
I mean, mostly they were with just people, right?
Well, you know, but it's very disorienting, I think, especially when, you know, you go to sleep alone. You know, there's nobody there, and you wake up, and there's a big giant head floating over your bed. It's a little
right.
disorienting.
Right, so that was one of your recent experiences.
Well, it was interesting because, this is recent. And the thing that was so odd was I was on my boat, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I thought that a strange person had wandered in off the dock and came onto my boat. And I saw him, and he was holding on to the bar to come down into the cabin. And I saw him lean his head in and stare at me. And I freaked out. I lost it. I mean, I saw him just as solid in 3D as he could have been. And I started screaming, get out of here. You need to get out right now. What are you doing in here? And he was just staring at me. And I thought I was going to have to jump up and hit him over the head with something. And then he just vanished right before my eyes. Poof, gone. And that was, I was terrified. I thought I had a stalker that had come in and was going to get aggressive. And when he vanished, it was just something that I didn't even expect because I thought he was real.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what did he look like? I mean, how was he dressed?
He was an older gentleman, kind of silverish colored hair, very well groomed. It was odd. In a denim shirt. And I only saw his upper torso because it looked like he was holding on to the bar to lean in and look down at me. And he was solid. He didn't look like an apparition at all. He was very solid. I couldn't see through him at all. He was really there.
Wow.
And until he vanished, it didn't even occur to me that, you know, it wasn't a real person. And then a few weeks later, I had gone to sleep. And, you know, I mean, the first thing I thought was, okay, this is a person that's going to attack me. I'm a female. It's in the middle of the night. This guy came in, and there he is, 3D in my face, staring at me as I'm sleeping. And I was very terrified. And so I'm thinking, you know, he's here to attack me. What else is he here for? He's staring at me. He could have just grabbed a few things and been gone, but instead, he's just there staring at me.
Well, you didn't recognize him at all? I mean,
no, I've never seen him. I've never seen this guy. I don't know who he was, but he was very well groomed, which was a little odd. And so then when the second time that this happened, it was in the middle of the night, and I woke up, and there, as I woke up, probably, I don't know, somewhere between midnight and 3 a.m., I don't remember the time exactly, but there he was again. There was his face just staring right at me above my bed. But the clincher now was there was nothing else there. It was just a head. He had no body. He had no neck. And I'm thinking, well, he certainly can't rape me with nothing but a head, you know? So I thought, okay, well, maybe this guy thought, I don't want to terrify her. I don't want her to think I'm going to rape her again, so I'll just show up as a head.
Well,
and the interesting thing about it was I didn't notice one hair out of place. He was so well-groomed. It was the strangest thing.
Well, let me ask you this. His head, what level was it at? Was it where was his body visible?
It was floating very high. No, there was no body there. Nothing. Just a big, giant, round head.
Well, was the head low to the ground, I mean?
No.
Or was it where a head would normally be?
No, I think it may have even been above where it would have normally been.
Uh-huh,
I don't know. That's a good question, come to think of it. I just thought it was a floating head.
Right.
But it bothered me so bad that he's just sitting there, you know? He's just floating there, looking at me.
Well,
and I screamed, and I screamed at him, and I was screaming to get out, and I just lost it. I just panicked, and I was screaming. And then, poof, he was gone.
Wow, that's twice. That's bizarre.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, I'm so stupid. It takes so much energy to come in and do something like that, and I just lose my mind and scream like a maniac, and poof, there he goes.
Well, maybe he's got a message for you. Was he malicious looking, or was he smiling?
No, he was very, very calm looking. He's silver hair, gray hair, not a bad looking man, older, probably in his late 50s, early 60s.
Huh.
Very wide, round face. Didn't have any kind of menacing eyes or anything. Didn't look menacing at all. But it bothers me. It's like, how dare you just come into my space? Why don't you knock? Why don't you ask permission? I don't know. It's just very bothering to me.
Right. Oh, I don't blame you. I mean, one thing
now, when I was a child, things like that happened all the time, and it didn't bother me. And I don't know why, but as an adult, it really bothers me.
Oh, well, maybe as a child, you just thought it was normal.
I did think it was normal. I totally thought it was normal. And the other thing is, as a child, I could see colors around people as well.
Aura.
I could see, I could see energy and the colors. And when there was, I used to call them ickies, I could see icky things, big dark blobs and different things in their energy fields.
Wow. Well, so how did this all start? I mean, as a kid, you were just seeing people in your bedroom and stuff?
You know, I just recall always seeing it. Isn't that interesting? And then it just started really growing. But as I got older and even, you know, as a teen, I started to study Eastern philosophies and mysticism and different things because I thought I was different and I wanted to know what was going on and why. And I wanted to learn more about it.
All right. Well, I think you have at least some degree of what I would call mediumistic ability. I think everyone does. And it can be developed in everyone, pretty much, like a talent, you know. But some people just have a knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you definitely do. I mean, because you have a lot of experiences. Like growing up, what were some of your other experiences with ghosts?
Well, when I was 10 years old, my father had been suffering from lung cancer. And he, at 12:23 a.m., he died at the exact time of my birth, 10 years later. And I was very excited because it was my birthday that morning, and I was going to get to see my dad. He had been in the hospital for a really long time. And I thought, well, this is fabulous. I'm going to get to see my dad. And I woke up. We had gone home from the hospital. And I woke up, and there was a window. I was in a bunk bed, and there was a window and a street light outside. And it had been raining or sleeting or something, and the moon and the light from the street light was shining through the window. And I looked up, and there was my dad in the room. And I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled to see him. But I was a little girl. I was 10. And as I looked at him, I wasn't sure if it was him or if it was the way that the light was coming in from this window. Because I could see the window. And I actually could see through him to the window. And so as he stood there, I was so surprised to see him. I said, "Dad, you're home, you're home." And he said, "Yeah, I'm here. And I said, "You're okay." And he says, "Yeah, I'm okay now. I'm fine." And he began to talk to me a little bit about my life and that my life was not going to be easy, that it was going to be difficult, and that no matter what, that I should always look forward and never look back. Don't turn back and don't get discouraged. And whatever I did, not to give up, just to keep going. That he was always going to be there for me and that he would always love me. And I said, "Oh, I know, Dad, I know." You know, and it didn't occur to me that that wasn't my dad. I mean, I was talking to my dad. He was there and I could see him and we were having, you know, a one-on-one dialogue. And I got up the next morning, and I was so excited because my dad had come home from the hospital, and he was going to be there for my birthday. And I was all dressed up, and I sat in the entrance foyer, and his mother and my mother saw me and were kind of surprised and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm waiting for Daddy. He's home. He's going to be here for my birthday, and he hasn't been home in a really long time." And my grandmother burst into tears. She just didn't understand what I was doing. And my mother said, "No, sweetie, no, your daddy's not going to be here." And I said, "Yes, he is." They said, no, he's not coming home today." And I said, "Well, sure he is. He's already here." And they said, "Well, no, sweetheart, he died last night in the hospital." And I said, "Well, that can't be. I spoke with him, and he was here, and we had a nice conversation. I talked to him. He was here." And they lost it. I mean, my grandmother was sobbing like a baby. And they finally convinced me that he had died and he was not going to be back. But I had that conversation with him, and it was just when he had died.
Wow. Wow, how special that is. You know, I talked to another guy who had a very similar experience after his mother died. He said that this was actually quite a while after she had died, I think, a few months or at least. And he woke up because his room started to get light. And it just slowly started to get brighter and brighter, and he could see that it was coming from this ball of light, which suddenly extended and grew, and it was his mother. And she was really beautiful, and she walked up to him and proceeded to have this long conversation with him, basically, in which he was able to converse, like you are able to.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is actually pretty rare. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and that doesn't happen a whole lot.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, and you don't even actually read about it that much, because a lot of ghost encounters, it seems like the ghosts don't talk, or they just, and even interaction is pretty rare. So.
Huh. Yeah, well, I was a little concerned when he told me. I thought he'd go, well, you're going to do great, and you're going to have a fabulous life. And he said, well, your life's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but you cannot give up. And don't look back. You look forward, and you're going to get through this. Whatever you do, don't give up.
Wow.
And he said, I'll always be there with you. I'll be there for you. You're not doing this alone. But don't you quit.
It's just such an inspiring story. I mean, I think that ghosts are really some of the best proof we have of life after death.
Yeah. Well, I certainly can't explain it. And he did have this real interesting, like a silvery blue glow about him. But like I said, I mean, I could see the light coming in from the window, and I could see, you know, I couldn't tell if it was him or, and again, like I was 10, so I was trying to make sense of everything, but it didn't occur to me that that wasn't my dad.
Wow. Now, he had been sick, right? I mean, did he look different?
Yeah, he was very sick. And when I saw him, he looked beautiful. He looked amazing. And the other thing that was so interesting was he had lost his right arm. And when I saw him, he had both of his arms. And that kind of threw me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. Well, you should have caught on right there that something was up.
Well, it was unusual, but I at the time, it just didn't. It didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand.
Right.
I just thought, this is my dad. We're talking. I mean, he might look a little unusual, but that's my dad.
Wow. That's a really positive experience, too. I mean, that didn't scare you at all.
No, it didn't scare me because, you know, it was my dad. Maybe if it was some crazy clown-looking thing that showed up with the horns or something, yeah, that would have scared me.
Wow.
But it was my dad, and it sounded like my dad, but he was beautiful. He was really, really beautiful. He looked so good. He looked better than I had seen him look, you know, in many years.
Right. Wow. Would you say that this convinced you of life after death, or was that something you already believed in?
You know, as weird as this sounds, I kind of sometimes go through stages of, yeah, I shouldn't even say that. Yeah, it convinces me, certainly. And the other interesting thing is every year after that, on my birthday, I would smell his pipe tobacco in the room.
I was just going to ask you that. You know,
yeah, he wafts up. He used to smoke this cherry vanilla tobacco, and he wafts up the whole room of it.
Wow.
Every year.
And
I don't know, I tell people, oh, get ready, he'll be around. And one time he actually opened the door and closed it and walked in and out, and my friends were just astounded. They went, how'd you do that? Because we know you did that. How'd you do it? I said, no,
wow.
I didn't do it. I told you, my dad comes back every year.
Wow. And other people have experienced that.
What?
Other people have experienced him as well?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, my mother has smelled it. A lot of family friends have smelled it. You can smell the tobacco, and yeah.
Have other members of your family also had experiences that were, you know, with his apparition or anything like that?
I'm not sure, actually. Not to my knowledge. I think my mom was the only person.
Does your mom also see ghosts?
Not as much as me. But, you know, if she did, she'd just toss it off to something and lie about it.
Well, what about your grandparents? Do you know if they had, like, mediumistic ability?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. My son does.
Oh, your son does, really? Wow.
Yeah, and my son used to come in talking about, he would talk to my father, and his other grandfather would talk and call him Pop.
Huh.
And I had never told him about my father. And I'd go, who are you talking to? Pop! I'm talking to Pop! I go, what's his name? Larry, your dad, your dad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting, very, very interesting.
You, don't you see him? I go, I don't see him. He's, oh, well, okay.
Well, I've had a lot of experiences with my mother, so, I mean, I can totally relate to having experiences with the loved one's ghosts. But you say ghosts scare you. I mean, if you're visiting, being visited by loved ones...
Well, loved ones don't scare me. Floating heads and men that look like they're going to accost you scare me.
Well, have you had more experiences like that, other than this guy with the floating head?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. One of the things that I don't even understand to this day is, you know how when you're kind of, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're kind of half awake and half asleep, or you're coming out of a sleep state?
Right.
There are times where the bed just starts to vibrate, and I know it's shaking. Have you ever experienced this?
I have once or twice, and I knew it wasn't an earthquake. Because it wasn't that type of movement.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a vibrating.
Right. Very, very fast, but very, at the same time, very violent, I guess, in a way.
Right.
But tiny little vibrating versus,
exactly,
you know, a big earthquake.
Exactly, yeah.
And that happens to me a lot, and I don't like it.
Well, I heard that that might be related to, like, out-of-body experiences, and that's you coming back, although you don't
remember.
Yeah,
I had heard that, too. But the other thing that happens a lot these days, and this is another thing that really bugs me, because, like, do you have a little tact? Why don't you knock? Why don't you ask? Why don't you have a conversation with me in the dream state or something, and we'll get through this together. Don't just come waltzing in. I have recently had a presence that comes into my room, and even when I'm asleep, I know that it has entered the room because there's a strange vibration that changes, a strange frequency. And this thing will sit down on the bed next to me, and I can see the bed dip down, and I can see the covers go, and I can hear it come into the room. And sometimes it'll just lay down next to me, and that really bothers me.
I
did not invite you. Who do you think you are? I don't even know who you are. And I just start reading at the Riot Act, and it's like, excuse me, did I give you permission to be here? It's time to go. And I'm really upset about it. I mean, it's never hurt me. It's never done anything, but I don't like that.
No, I don't think I would like that either.
No, and it's like the person just comes in and sits down and just hangs out there. It's like, who are you? And why are you here? You don't have my permission.
Wow.
I don't know if, I mean, I'd be curious to hear if there are people out there that have had this experience. Because to me, it's very unsettling, and I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. And I don't know if I'm a big, giant, walking, talking vortex that attracts this stuff, but it's like, go into the light. You are the light. It's like, no, I'm not the light, okay? You need to find the light, because I'm not it. I'm not your doorway. This is not the exit. This is, no. You need to go somewhere else.
Well, that's one of the theories is why some people have a lot of ghost experiences, is because ghosts can see their auras, or and they're attracted to people who have mediumistic ability because they're trying to communicate.
I can't stand it.
Huh.
I would just, you know, and I don't mind. I mean, I used to have situations where I'd go by where people had been killed, and all of a sudden they're there with me. They're there, but they tell me who they are, and they tell me what happened. As a matter of fact, about 10 years ago, I was driving down the road, and I had just passed an accident where I saw that this young kid was on a motorcycle and had been hit by a car, And they had his body covered up, and he was laying in the street in his sock feet. And his shoes, I guess it hit him so hard his shoes had been knocked off.
Wow.
And I was there at the time of the accident, but, you know, I went past it. Well, a few days or so later after that, I was driving past the place, and there, I was getting close to where the accident had happened, and all of a sudden there's this kid, and I mean, he was in my car with me. And he says, you have to pull over, you have to pull over. And I'm looking at him going, oh my God, who are you? And it occurred to me, this was the kid that had been hit. And he said, I was just killed. You have to pull over. You have to pull over now. I need for you to help. And he wouldn't stop. And I didn't feel threatened by him at all. So I pulled over, and he goes, that's my aunt. You have to talk to her. You have to tell her to tell my mother I'm okay. I'm not in hell. Why me?
Because
wow. You can hear me. And I said, what's your name? And he told me his first and last name. And I pulled up, and these people were putting up a cross with flowers right there. And I'm telling you, I felt like Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost, you know, where this thing would not leave her alone.
So
that's when I pulled over, and I said, look, you don't know me. I didn't know this person, but I have to tell you, I don't know why this has happened, but he's in my presence. This is his name. He needs for you to tell his mother. You're his aunt, right? And I didn't know these people, and she's just looking at me like I'm nuts. She goes, yes. And I said, he needs for you to tell his mother that he's okay, and he's not burning in hell. He's fine, and he's with her brother. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
right.
And she burst into tears, and she said, oh, my God, we needed to know that. We just needed to know that. And I said, look, I got to go. You need to take him with you. I got to go. And she said, did you know him? I said, no, I don't know him. I've never seen him in my life, but he's here.
Jeez.
Had little situations like that happen.
That's very much like the movie The Sixth Sense. That's very interesting. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest tonight is using the pseudonym Wendy, and she's talking about her amazing experiences with ghosts. And there are many. Very interesting. Now, this is a call-in show, so if any of you out there want to call in and share some of your experiences or ask a question for our guest, the number is toll-free, so get a pen. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that again. It's 888-228-4494. Now, Wendy, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned having this ghost encounter right by a car accident, because I interviewed a nurse recently who works in a hospital, and she said that during her training, when she signed on with all the other nurses, they were brought into a room and given a lecture by the head nurse, who said, gave him some advice, that when they are dealing with a patient who has died, that they should not go directly home, because sometimes patients will actually follow the nurses wherever they're going. And she recommended
They
go. No.
Wow.
But she said that you should go shopping, you might want to go out to eat, something like that. And that to be careful of, getting spirits attached to you, because that has happened to several nurses, apparently. Apparently it's enough to be a problem, right? And,
yeah.
It was very interesting speaking with her. I know her really well, and I've been trying to get her interview for a long time. Hospitals are apparently very haunted and just filled with ghosts. Have you had any experiences like that in the hospital?
Well, I pretty much had to grow up in a hospital because my dad was sick for so long. I've always seen things and had things kind of follow me, but not anything major.
Yeah.
I'd have to sit back and think about it for a while. It's funny because it got to a point where once I started studying this, because I was trying to figure out what was going on, there was so much activity going on around me, and I just wanted to know how to better control it as I got older, because it seemed a bit out of control. You know, I will tell you one thing that happened that was really interesting. I remember later in life, as a young adult, moving in with a boyfriend. And I told him, at the time I had something following me around, but I thought maybe it was my father. I wasn't sure. And I told him, look, I just feel I should tell you that I have this thing that follows me around and kind of looks over me and protects me, and I'm not exactly sure what's going on or what it is, but I felt that it only fair that I tell you about this, because for whatever reason, it's there, and it's kind of unsettling.
Right, right.
And he didn't believe me. He just laughed and thought, okay, whatever, you have a nice imagination and you have fun with that. And we lived in this huge house, and we had another big male roommate that had his own room in an area of the house. And this guy started screaming out one day, that my boyfriend at the time said, okay, you think you're so bad, you're so cool, you show yourself. Show yourself right now and let me know you're there. I just want to know you're there. And I didn't see this. I wasn't in the room. I was in another room. But he said that out of nowhere, a stuffed animal flew up off the bed and beamed him in the back of the head. And I didn't see it. But he came running out of that room, and his eyes were just wide open. And he said, okay, tell it to leave me alone. Tell it I believe. And I go, you tell it, because I don't get stuff thrown at me. You might want to say, okay, I'm sorry, or I get it, you're there. And so that was interesting. He told me that had happened. Then the other big, really big guy, this kid was big, he was in the house by himself one night, and we had just come home, and he was hyperventilating. He was absolutely hysterical. And I said, what is wrong with you? What's wrong? He said, I have no idea what just happened, but I heard something calling your name. I heard something calling your name. And then I heard something calling my name.
Huh.
And then at one point, I was knocked onto the couch, and I was held down. He says, I couldn't move. I couldn't move at all. The blinds were blowing. It was freezing cold. He said, I almost had a heart attack, and I could not move. I thought I was just going to die. So I've never had anything like this happen to me. He says, and I couldn't make a sound. I couldn't call for anybody. I couldn't ask for help. I was terrified. I couldn't move. And I have never experienced anything like that.
I've interviewed people who have experienced that exact same thing. Several people, actually.
Really?
So that's like near possession. I mean, that's when something's literally attacking you with a spirit.
Yeah, that's what he had said. But I mean, I've never experienced that.
Right.
But I don't know what he was doing or what he was up to, but this thing held him down, threw him down on the couch and held him down, and he couldn't say a word. He couldn't scream. He opened up his mouth, and he said nothing came out.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard that many times.
Well, that's horrible. I mean, I would just be so upset and angry. I would not stand for that.
No. Wow. That's scary, too. I mean, that's
I know. Well, you know, and to me, it's like, well, I don't want these little bed sitters either. It's like, who are you, and what do you think you're doing?
Well, that's happened to you throughout your life? I mean, this happens
regularly? God, I hope I haven't attracted anything back that comes and sits on your bed. I don't like it.
No. Well, you know, I guess it's part of the consequences of having mediumistic ability.
Well, I think it's really crappy, and if we have the ability to give them a voice or to help them out, how dare they sneak up, sit on the bed, roll around, shake the bed, scare the hell out of us, you know? I just think it's really crappy.
Right. Well, what do you think about Ouija boards?
We used to play with them as kids. See, that's probably why I have these good buddies now, huh?
Well, that's kind of what I thought I'd ask. I mean,
we had one scary thing. I almost don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to pull anything around that I shouldn't.
Right, I can understand. I mean, if you don't want to, that's fine. Maybe you
it's
had
like that Bart story you told me about, remember?
Right, that was scary. In my book, these girls were messing around with the Ouija board, and they were trying to contact Agnes Moorehead and various movie stars, and that's not what they got. Suddenly it started going around and weird, making different names, and finally came up with the name Bart, and said he was a demon that worked for Satan and that he was in the house. So they ended up actually running out of the house, and when they went back inside, there was a big black apparition that both one witness and the dog actually saw.
Oh my God.
It can be some pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, that's no fun.
But, you know, on the other hand, I went to a table lifting session, several, which is just the same exact thing as a Ouija board.
A what?
A table lifting.
Oh, I did that with you.
So that's right.
I went to one with you, or the table tapping we did.
Right.
And that was crazy.
That was dramatic. I mean, you actually can get this table to lift up into
the air. No, this was crazy. I remember that. It went way up, and we were all looking at each other like, are you kidding me with this? Yeah, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I did a bunch of it, actually, and it was really interesting. And didn't really have any problems, but, you know, the lady who did it said that she did have a couple of times where she, you know, had to do cleansing ceremonies. Like once she was at the pool, she actually lives in a condo complex, or did, during when I visited her. And she was at her pool when suddenly she heard this weird clicking noise, but a really weird clicking noise and loud. And it came closer and closer and closer, and then it moved right by her. And there was nothing there. And she went to her house, and there was just this evil presence. She ended up having to do this big cleansing ceremony, which worked.
Well, that's good to know.
So yeah, I don't advise people to mess around with the Ouija board unless they know what they're doing. But you know what? When I was at her house, we did actually make up a Ouija board at one point. And I tried to communicate with my mother, and we got a really interesting message. It was amazing.
Really?
We wrote up this Ouija board in hand lettering. I mean, we just wrote it up on a piece of paper, and we were using, ironically, one of those do not disturb things you hang on your doorknob, which has a little hole in it, you know what I mean? Which is kind of ironic when you consider we're contacting the spirit world, but at any rate, it worked. It was amazing because suddenly this thing started moving around really fast. So fast that we could just barely write down the letters. And I said to Christy, my sister-in-law, who I was doing it with, I'm like, are you doing that? And she's like, no, are you doing that? And I said, no. And I was trying to contact my mother. I'm like, is my mother there? Is my mother there? And it said, yes. And then I asked, well, what was the first thing you did when you died? And it spelled out, saw phone. And I'm like, saw phone? Well, later when I read her autopsy report, it turned out she was reaching for the phone when she died.
Oh, wow.
And then I said, well, what's the next thing you did? And it spelled out laughed. You know, just one word, laughed. I thought, wow, you know, that's kind of interesting. And I said, okay, well, what's the next thing you did? And it said, took a nap. I'm like, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I wanted to find out exactly what happens when you die and what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, well, what's the next thing you did? And she said, saw God. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
And for her to say that, is because she wasn't really religious. I mean, she did have some religious upbringing, but she wasn't like a big believer in the paranormal and life after death and God and all that. But so for her to say that is pretty amazing. So that was that, and I thought,
that's
wow, you know.
Spectacular.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, very cool.
So I think people can use a Ouija board safely if they know what they're doing.
What's the most common scenario that you get about these incidences?
With the Ouija board, you mean?
No, with just visitation, I guess, or sightings, apparitions.
You know, it's amazing how different people's stories are. I just interviewed these other people recently, a father and daughter, who had a really bizarre experience. They were neighbors. They lived next to each other, and the father is really old and actually is suffering from, I believe it's diabetes, and is having some problems with it, and, you know, just trying to survive. And the daughter had this sudden compulsion to run over to his house, and she ran over to his house, and sure enough, he was in a diabetic coma. And at this point, suddenly he appeared to be talking, and he was talking, and he held his hand out into the air, and he was talking to his father, who is deceased. And in his other hand, his daughter was holding on to his other hand. And so he seemed to be aware of both worlds at once. He's talking to his father and holding on to his daughter's hand, and is in this weird kind of semi-comatose state. And the daughter's freaking out because her dad is talking to her grandfather, who's deceased, and he's holding this big, long conversation with him. And he's holding out his hand exactly as if he's actually holding someone's hand, but she can't see a thing. So this goes on for a little while, and eventually the father wakes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, my God, you know, are you all right? What happened? And he says, I was with my dad. I was with my dad, and I interviewed him, you know, pretty extensively about his experiences, and he said that he was actually standing in this field next to this barn that he had never seen before, just this really beautiful rural country area, and his father was talking all about, you know, various things in his life. And apparently, you know, they had had some guilt issues. His father had been kicked out of the home, and he never contacted them afterwards. He felt really guilty about that. So apparently this was the purpose of the visitation, so that the grandfather could relieve, you know, his son's guilt. So, and, you know, I bring that up because it's a very unusual ghost experience, and you get so many kinds. And this, I believe, was this same guy, yeah, who had another really amazing experience with this other ghost of a friend of his, a lady who died. And he saw her four times. And the first time, she just appeared in the room, and he looked at her, and she was just as solid as can be. And she said, I need to tell you something. And he looked away, and when he looked back, she was gone. And a couple of days or weeks later, he's walking around, and suddenly she appears, and she says, I need to tell you something about... I think it was like Gloria or another lady, right? A friend of his. And she was staring right at him. He's like, oh, okay. At that point, the phone rings, right? He turns to pick up the phone and looks back, and she's gone. And at this point, I mean, she appeared one more time, and he looked away again, and she disappeared. And he thought, well, I'm not going to look away next time if she appears again. So he's sitting at the dining room table when suddenly her apparition appears on the opposite side of the table in the rocking chair, and full color as can be, looking straight into his eyes. And he's like, well, I'm not going to look away. And he locked stares with her, and she didn't speak this time at all. She never spoke, but he stared at her, he says, for 25 minutes.
Really?
And he not only did this, he grabbed his cell phone because he started to feel really disoriented. Like you say, I mean, it's a really startling experience.
Mm-hmm.
He grabbed his cell phone and held it up next to his face so he could dial without, you know, looking away from this apparition. And he dialed his ex-wife's phone number. And he called her up and says, are you awake? Am I dreaming right now? Is this a dream? And she says, what are you talking about? And he says, I've got our friend here who died sitting right across the table from me. She says, you're kidding. He's like, no, she's right here, right now, and I'm not dreaming, right? She says, no, you're not dreaming. And so they talked a while about this apparition as it was, you know, he watched it for a long time. I mean, isn't that bizarre?
Well, what did he ever find out what she wanted?
No, he didn't. He did not actually find out what she wanted, but the daughter called me up later and said she had a pretty good idea of what it was, and involving some infidelities of some sort.
But,
not something I should really go into.
Now, I'll tell you, with the incident that I've had with this floating head man, I've had another incident since I was a child. Well, I should say my little sister, actually, would wake up in the middle of the night, and she would sleepwalk. She would sleepwalk a lot, and we'd find her out in the neighborhood and up the street and all different places, and with her clothes on strange, and her socks were always over her shoes, and crazy things. But she would get up in the middle of the night and would talk about the old-fashioned lady, the old-timey lady, the old-fashioned lady that she would see in the house.
Right.
And I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and this was another thing that was terrifying because I was seeing all these ghosts and apparitions and things. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and there would be my sister standing at the foot of my bed, going, "The old-fashioned lady, the old-fashioned lady." Like, good God, you're scaring the hell out of me. You have to stop this. And so I woke up one night in the middle of the night, and it was interesting because I was living in the South at the time, and there in this apartment I had mirrored sliding doors, closet doors, all the way across the wall in my bedroom. And so, needless to say, I woke up in the middle of the night, and there, standing at the foot of my bed, was this little old woman. She looked like she was from Little House on the Prairie. She had a blue dress on all the way to the floor. I mean, I remember her like yesterday. She had a bonnet that was hanging from around her neck. She had an apron on that was tied. She had her hair all up in a bun. She had gray hair. And she looked just like Tweety Bird's grandmother, you know, real sweet cheeks and very, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, great, this is the old-fashioned lady. Here she is that my sister would always talk about. And she had glasses on as well. And I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to lay down and this vapor's going to be gone. And I laid back down and I closed my eyes and I laid there for a minute because I had worked for many years to stop seeing these things. So I thought, you know, it'll all be fine. She's not really here. And so then I opened my eyes back up. And now, at this point, she's floating in the middle of my bed.
Huh.
And I'm thinking, oh, fabulous. She's really here. She's here. And at that point, I can see these little strands, little tiny loose strands of her hair just glowing. And I remember looking at her, and I leaned up to get a really good look at her. And as I did, I saw myself, my reflection, right through her in those glass mirrored sliding closet doors. And I just thought, that was the strangest thing I had ever seen in my life. Here's this little old woman floating in the middle of my bed, and I'm looking at myself, freaking out, looking at her, and I'm seeing my face right through her. Nice glass mirror doors just staring right back at me, like, you got to be kidding me with this. And then I knew, okay, there's a reflected image, too. I could see her. And as I leaned up to get a better look at her, she took her glasses and lowered them down and looked over her glasses like, I see you too. And that was it. I lost it. I started screaming like a wild maniac. Ah! And, you know, then poof, she was gone.
Wow.
That was another one that was that was a big deal. And she wasn't scary at all, you know. She was really, you know, fat-cheeked little cutie pie.
Well, and no idea who she might be?
I've since learned who she was.
Really?
Yeah. I dreamt about her, actually. I dreamt about her. Her name was Serene. Supposedly, she was a grandmother that raised me in a past life. And her children, you know, her child had died. And she took me on. She raised me, and she's followed me through life as one of my guides, I guess, or angels or something.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's
she had information and messages for me, and I was too stupid to get them because I was too busy screaming my brains out.
Wow. Well, you had so many unusual experiences. I wanted to ask you this. You know, having had, like, both UFO experiences and ghost experiences, do you think there's any relationship between the two?
I think there is. And the reason that I think there is because I think there's some kind of kinetic energy, some kind of extreme energy when you're dealing with that it amplifies... It amplifies the experiences because of this special, I shouldn't even say special, but this energy, this frequency of energy. I always say that with my encounters and my experiences, they pretty much gave me the key to unlock all possibilities to myself. And
wow.
In doing that, I think when you agree to assist humanity on certain levels, and you know, this other group of beings, I just say humanity, you kind of get a jump start on your evolutionary process, and you kind of get these gifts or rewards that maybe catapult us into multi-dimensional realities. And so we're a lot more aware, or we're a lot more awake to perceive these other possibilities or these realities.
Oh, interesting.
That's my take on it. I don't know if that's a fact, but I'm prepared to accept it.
Well, that makes sense, I think, because, you know, another lady told me pretty much the same thing, that the ETs were abducting her, and she was like, why are you doing this? And they're like, well, you agreed to it. And she says, well, what do I get out of it?
Absolutely, yeah.
She says, well, what do I get out of it? And she says... They said, oh, well, you get a huge jump start in your spiritual evolution. And she ended up, yeah, becoming a healer, and she learned all this really amazing stuff. It was just a really amazing experience
for
her.
Yeah, that clicks for me as well, because I don't ever feel victimized in any way by those experiences at all. Although I have to say, I'm not real thrilled about, you know, the vibrating bedsitter, that one. Or Mr. Floating Head. You just knock, ask, talk to me. But the other thing that's interesting that I forgot about is now I get the light bulb flicker thing.
Yeah, I've had
really
that.
Surging light bulb flickers, and I'm just going, you know, I don't want you here. Now I know you're saying, hey, can I come in? But the answer's no. You can't. Not interested. And maybe that's kind of crappy of me, because I said ask permission, and it wouldn't matter anyway. No. He'll just show up anyway. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know what? I'm doing the best I can in this three-dimensional reality. And it's a little disorienting when these energies come in and interact. You know, life's hard enough.
Right. Right.
You know, send me some evolved spirit that has some information that I can gain a little insight. Okay. But sending in a floating head and scaring the heck out of me, you know, I don't do too well. If somebody's just puffing and puffing and sitting down on my bed or rolling into bed with me, you know, that's not my idea of enlightenment.
All right. Well, our time is actually up. So.
Well, all righty.
I want to thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I know it was last minute, but wow. What an amazing story you have. I mean, so many of them.
It's a busy time.
All right. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Head. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and we've been speaking tonight with Wendy X, talking about her amazing ghost experiences. I want to thank you all for joining us, and I hope you can join us next week when I have another new exciting guest. Until then... have a great evening.